and John. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, he doesn't just say it. It's a declaration of who he is and what he is. What's that humming noise? Oh, we're cooking over there. All right, carry on. Never mind that humming noise, it's a microwave. It's all right. That thing is annoying. Depends on what's cooking, I guess, yeah. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You get the idea. He's trying to communicate something here. He's trying to get a point across. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. And I don't feel like being high and lifted up tonight, so I'm coming down here with you folks. There is importance in abiding in the vine. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at why it's important and how. Father, in Jesus' name, I need your help. God, there's no way I can communicate adequately, Lord, what I believe you once said here tonight without your anointing. And so, God, I pray tonight that you would anoint not only me. Lord, your word doesn't need anointing because it's already got your anointing on it. But, Lord, us people down here, we need it. I need it to deliver. They need it to receive. And, Lord, I pray that you would put an extra dose of stickiness on it, that your word would stick to us and in us, Lord, that it would transform our lives from who we are to who you want us to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Whoops, I killed a pumpkin. Sorry. I don't know whose pumpkin it is, but it's not mine. Maybe it is. All right. I think tonight...
I just said it's not mine. Mine's right here.
You want to back that up and edit it, or what do you want to do? Moving right along. I really do think, though, tonight the most important thing for us to come to grips with is that true fruitfulness and stability in a fragmented, fast-paced world will only come through continual connection with Christ. That was a mouthful. I think that the secret to a meaningful, fruitful life is not doing more for Jesus. In reality, it's just staying connected to him. And I want to ask this question. Have you noticed how connected our world claims to be? We've got every device in the world to bring us connectivity. The world claims to be connected, but yet how disconnected people really are. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a moment. We've got all the technology, but because of all the technology, we have become disconnected as a society. Go to a restaurant and sit down and begin to just watch the people and watch the what takes place. Everybody will be sitting there on their phone for the most part. Oblivious to what's going on around them. Go to an airport. It's amazing. We have Wi-Fi, social media, Bluetooth, smartphones, but loneliness is at an all-time high in America and around the world. And so I want to look at what it means to abide in Christ in a disconnected world. How to abide in Christ in a disconnected world. Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing, no thing. You can't do anything. And so in the culture, in our culture, we celebrate independence. I've got this and I don't need you anymore. I get in trouble all the time. Mike gets in trouble all the time. Because we just don't ask for a lot of help when we're doing stuff. We just do it. But we're kind of getting to the physical age, not necessarily the numerical age, because neither one of us think we're old yet. But our... What's that? Yeah. Yeah, well, because we're kind of that same vintage. But my body is telling me something different. Amen? My body tells me, like Brother Thomas said, when I get out of bed in the morning, my body tells me how old I am. We celebrate independence. I've got this. I don't need anyone. But Jesus goes right through that, cuts right through the pride, and declares, listen, without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing. His emphasis here was not to dwell on our glaring inadequacies, but really, in fact, to remind us of the incomparable adequacy that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Through him, I can do all things. Without him, I can do nothing, but through him, there's nothing I can't do. That's God's word. We either stand on God's word, we either believe in God's word, we either apply God's word, or it's just a book. And we've got to begin to apply what it says to our life. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It's not just a poetic exaggeration. It's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. Yeah, you can have money, you can have degrees, you can have YouTube followers, but no spiritual fruit will follow you apart from him. Not any. You can post YouTube videos till the cows come home. You can get all the likes under the sun. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have any fruit that's going to last into eternity. And listen, if we're just having fruit here on this world, I bought bananas the other day and you put them in a crate. And if you don't eat them bananas pretty fast, they start getting yucky. Now, I don't like green bananas. I like a banana that's soft, sweet, but when they're brown and you can suck them out of the skin through a straw. You get what I'm talking about? That banana's been on the shelf too long. Listen, it ain't even good for banana bread at that point. I used this illustration this morning because it came from this message that I planned on preaching this morning, but the Lord changed that all around. talking about your phone, powerful, capable, full of all kinds of apps, but when your battery died, all the potential is gone. All the power that you have in those apps is gone. It's useless until you plug it in again. And that is us without abiding in Christ. The full potential. We have full potential. He said we can do all things through Him. That's what He said. We can do all things. We're clear. I mean, we're full to overflowing with potential, but we are powerless without connection. Think about it. Without being connected, all of life depends on staying connected to the vine. All of life, not just coming to church, all of life. John 15:4, I know it seems like we're going backwards, and we are, but we'll get there in a minute. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So as Jesus had a living dependence on His Father, you and I, as believers in Jesus, need to have a living dependence upon Him. I can do no thing without Him. Christ said, I don't do anything unless I hear from my Father. We just fly around, do whatever we want. We do all this stuff and say God told us to. Remaining for the disciples and for all believers today means that we have to make a constant moment-by-moment decision to follow Christ. And we cannot be passive. We don't just sit and remain until we die. We ain't holding the fort till Jesus comes. We're to be active and proactive. We're to be in the battle. We're to be on the battlefield. We have a lot of work to do. The word abide means to remain or to stay or to dwell continually. It's not a Sunday visit. It's not a Sunday visit. It's a daily residence. We reside in Him. See, Jesus is not looking for weekend guests. He's looking for live-in disciples. Reading His Word, listening to His Spirit, walking in obedience. That's how life flows through the branch. And fruit is the byproduct of the connection. As long as you have connectivity, you'll produce fruit. I'm all over the country in that log truck, and I can tell you where I'm going to lose phone service. I'm going to lose connectivity. I can tell you as I'm driving down the road, my phone don't have to start breaking up. I just know from experience where my phone's going to go away. When I go through the city of Glide, up the North River, across the Green Bridge, I can make it about 2 miles before my phone dies. I can go through and past Rock Creek, and as soon as I get across the bridge at Rock Creek, I will have connectivity again for about the next 5, maybe 6 miles. And then I lose it again. I can take you to places up in the mountains where I know in a certain spot I will have connectivity. I'll have enough phone service, I'll have enough cell service to make a phone call. So if I ever get in trouble, I know where these little places are. It don't matter where you are when it relates to Jesus. You have connectivity as long as you stay plugged in. Amen. You don't have to worry about losing connectivity with Jesus.
As soon as I figure out where I'm at, I'll...
John chapter 15 and verse 2. every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's where we lose most of the church, right there. Because they read that the way we print it in our English Western culture. And so when you read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, what goes through your mind? That he takes you away. That's not at all what it's saying. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What are you talking about? Well, it's one of those verses that if you don't know what the words mean, it'll mess you up. Because there's almost a level of defeatism. Is defeatism a word? Myrtle Creekian. It's Myrtle Creekian. Defeatism. Stick around, Pilgrim. We'll learn you some stuff. The phrase that I'm talking about is takes away. The word takes away, the phrase in the original language is the word aero, A-I-R-O, and what the word aero means is lifts up. I read a book on vine dressing. And the vine dresser in this particular story is God. Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. We are the branches. And the illustration that is really put forth here is that in the vineyard, there are those branches that begin to grow and they get long, and maybe the wind's been blowing and the branch the vine falls off of the trestle in the grape arbor, whatever it's called, in the vineyard, and it gets in the dirt and it gets in the mud, and it begins to rain, and the rain begins to splash dirt and mud all over, and it begins to choke out the leaves and all of that on the grapevine. And the vine dresser comes along with a pail of water and a sponge or a cloth, and he begins to gently pick those leaves up, and he begins to wash them off. And he begins to reattach them to the trestle. And he begins to make them again up off the dirt, out of the mud. Why? Because it couldn't produce while it was being choked out down there in all the mud and the muck. And it's a symbol of our life. We get down in the mud and the muck, and it begins to choke us out, and we begin to not be able to produce fruit. And God comes along, and he picks us up out of the miry clay and sets my feet on the solid rock to stay, to be established, to be reestablished. He cleans us up. He washes us off. He makes us in a position where now I can begin to produce fruit again unto righteousness that will be eternal fruit that God by his Spirit will get the glory for, not me. And so when you read this passage, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch in me that he prunes and that it may bear more fruit, he's not throwing you out. If you'll do a word study, you'll find out that word aereo is the exact same word that they used when they picked Jesus up and nailed him on the cross. He was lifted up on the cross. It's the same word. Aereo. A-I-R-O. Jesus makes a distinction between two kinds of pruning: cutting off and cutting back. Cutting off and cutting back. Fruitful branches are cut back with the purpose of promoting growth, with the purpose of producing more fruit. In other words, God sometimes comes along and he begins to discipline us to strengthen our character and to build our faith. And in John chapter 15 and verse 6, this is where things begin to change. In John chapter 15 and verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now, that's an entirely different scenario. That's an entirely different set of circumstances. You have to abide in the vine to have the life flow of the vine coming through you. If you don't have that flowing through you, you don't have life. So here's the deal. Disconnected branches can look alive for a while. They're still green. They're still flexible. But without the vine, death is inevitable. How many of you ladies have went out in your flower garden, begin to cut flowers, take them in the house, and they're beautiful? You cut them just right. My mom used to put anison. Anybody know what anison is? My mom used to put anison in the vase. And I said, "Mom, why do you do that?" "Oh," she said, "it helps them stay fresh longer." All right. I don't know if it did, but that was her deal. But the truth of the matter is, they're dead. They're dead. They are no longer attached to the vine. They're dead. They still look good, but they're dead. You know why they're dead? Because there's no life flowing into them. They have been disconnected. You know what you do in about 5 days with that bunch of flowers? You pull open your little garbage drawer and you go, and you throw them right in there because they're dead. They don't look, how many of you know dead things don't look very good after a while? They don't smell very good after a while. Why? Because on account of they're dead. They look vibrant for a few days, but they're already dying. They've been disconnected from the life source. That's an important thing in verse 6 for us to understand. If anyone does not abide in me, he's talking about, if you don't stay connected to the life-giving vine, you're in real trouble. The same thing happens when we try to live off yesterday's connection with God. Don't live off old devotions. Don't try and live off of old prayers and old experiences. Stay connected today. If his mercies are new every morning, don't you think we owe it to him to give him some fresh praise and worship every morning? Stay connected. Abiding isn't a one-time event. It's a daily choice. Verse 5 carries with it the promise of fruitfulness. It's a promise. It says this, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." The reward for abiding is not just survival, it's abundance. It's not just about surviving. It's about producing fruit unto the, you know, to the kingdom for eternity. So we live in a continual connection with Christ. Fruit will naturally begin to grow. When you live in continual connection with Christ, fruit naturally grows. You can't walk with Jesus every day. You can't live in Jesus every day and not have some fruit in your life. You just can't. I mean, you'd have to be numb, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know how you could walk with Jesus, be connected to Jesus, and not have some kind of fruit following your life. I don't know how you can do that. Fruit grows naturally when we are continually connected with Christ. And when fruit naturally grows, love when you're hurt, joy in trials. This is what fruit will grow. Love when you're hurt. Anybody ever been hurt? Love can grow right in the midst of your pain. You can have joy in the midst of your trials. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. And you can have patience when you're being tested. Keep pushing buttons. We need something over this because I got this fat thumb and... That's why we pay him the big bucks. Why are you just now doing that? Pretty much. Thank you, sir. Now I can let my fingers do the walking. That was a Yellow Pages commercial, all right? When you live in continual connection with Christ, fruit naturally grows. Love when you're hurt, joy in trials, peace in the storm, and patience when you're tested. It's not human effort. It's divine overflow. How many of you could use some divine overflow in your life? Amen. It comes from abiding in the vine. Here's the bottom line. Our world doesn't need any more religious activities. Think about that. You know who was the most against religion? Jesus Christ. He was against religion. Religion is what put him on a trumped up charges and all that kind of stuff and got him nailed to a cross. I mean, ultimately we understand why all that happened, but it was the religious that did that. We don't need any more religious activity. What we need is spiritual vitality. We need spiritual vitality. Marcia came to me this morning and said, "Pastor, thank you for praying for, I think it was her niece or anyway, the little gal that was pregnant. Well, she got really sick and she was, I don't know how many weeks along, but anyway, she was in the hospital and they ended up taking the baby early. And the baby's healthy and weighed like 5 pounds and this kind of stuff. So it was plenty viable, obviously. And the baby's doing well. But the reason why they took the baby was because the baby was literally sucking the life out of the mother. And spiritual vitality we get from staying connected to the vine. That baby was doing everything it could. It was drawing all the nourishment that it could from its mom. You know, calves are that way. That's all I know is those kind of things. But, you know, a calf, if you leave a calf on a cow sucking on its mother, it will literally suck her to death. She will work so hard at producing milk for that calf that she will, it ain't good. And so you got to be smart enough to know when to pull the calf off of the cow. And that's what these doctors did. I know that's really a crude example, but at the end of the day, that's what these doctors did to restore and to salvage the life of this mother. Church, we can tap into a source that we can draw from all night, all day, 365, 12 months out of, forever, and never begin to diminish the supply that we have. We have full accessibility to all the nutrition and the power and the nourishment that we need from Jesus. We need spiritual vitality. You can't get spiritual vitality from eating potatoes. It only comes from people who have learned how to abide in Christ. When you catch your breath. So the bottom line is, our world doesn't need any more religious activity. It needs spiritual vitality, and that only comes from people who have learned how to abide in Christ. And so in a world that is full of distractions, Jesus invites us to the simplicity of abiding. The simplicity of abiding. He's not looking for more performance. Not more pressure. Just more of His presence. You know, in His presence is the fullness of joy. In His presence, demons tremble. In His presence, the goodness of God just begins to overflow. In the presence of Jehovah, troubles vanish. So the question tonight is simple. I don't mean to be ugly. I don't mean to be mean. But I do mean to be pointed. I do mean to provoke you. Because here's the question. Are you abiding, or are you occasionally checking in? Are we abiding, or are we just every now and again checking in? If your spiritual battery is low, the answer isn't getting a new charger. That's not the answer. It's the same old vine. It's the same old vine. You got to stay connected. You got to plug into the source. And you got to trust God. You got to stay connected. You got to stay close. And you got to stay fruitful. I don't know really even how to wrap this up. I killed it again, didn't I? We talk about the altar as the spout where the glory comes. The altar can really literally be a point of connection to the Lord. And so tonight, I just, as Kathy plays this song, I'm glad I'm glad that you're playing this. I just want to invite you to come. Maybe you feel like you have been somewhat disconnected. And tonight, you just want to reestablish connectivity to the Lord. And so I'm going to just invite you to just come as she plays and sings. Nothing fancy or flashy. If you need to come to these altars, just